The format of the word portion of this service will be three devotions on the three texts that are appointed for this New Year's Eve. The first text that we have before us from Ecclesiastes 12 is really one big thought extended over seven verses, the entire section, one main point, and that can be found in the first 10 words of the very first verse. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's it. That's the whole point of those seven verses that proceed. That's what the text says. And so important is that point that five verses later, way down toward the end of the text, it's repeated for emphasis. In verse 6, it says, remember your Creator before. And it goes on, elaborating with very vivid language all of those things that happen in the brevity of your life. Yes, the brevity of your life in comparison to the Creator of life, who is eternal. Really, that concept of the shortness of our life in comparison to the eternity of our Creator God is the focus of that psalm that we just sang the first two stanzas of, Psalm 90. It's on the front cover of your worship folder too. Lord, you have been our dwelling place, reminding us of the eternal nature of our Creator. By comparison, as we sing portions of that Psalm 90, there are moments of frustration. And certainly in the brief life, the span of our life, we're reminded of those frustrating things too, as we're reminded that we are but dust. And that's what Ecclesiastes reminds us of too. What a great way to end the year. An excellent focus to have as another year passes us by and we look ahead to a new year, that God is eternal, even though we are dust. Why is it so important for you to remember your Creator? Well, because that's what this life is for. That's why you exist on this earth. That's why you're still here, why you're still living and breathing on this earth. It is what we call your time of grace. What an important phrase that is to understand about this life. It's that time that we have in our life to learn to know this eternal God who is our Creator, and to be able to grow and understand His grace for us, an incredible grace that He's given to us in our life, which benefits us for all eternity. That time of grace. Remember your Creator. That's why you're still here. Of course, when we go through life, we often find so many other distractions in life, so many things in our time on this earth that lead us to forget that Creator. All of the creaturely blessings that He's given to us in life, they easily become distractions for us. Days of youth, vigor and energy that bring such delight, those days of youth and strength, hopes and dreams, oh, how delightful they are. We want to make the most of them, even at the expense of remembering the one who gave them to us in the first place. Then there comes those years, those busy working years, years of production, years of efficiency, the mill constantly grinding, the water wheel is continuously turning, the watcher always busy watching. And what strength we have in those years, what production, so much to do, so much that can be gained, that we easily forget the one who has given us such rich treasures to look forward to in heaven. And then there's those years, those days of enjoyment, what we call the golden years, delighting with our senses while we still have those senses, pausing to smell the roses, viewing the beauty of the earth, the magnificence of the stars in the sky, listening to the sounds of the birds making beautiful music. But those things also can easily draw our senses away from that sound of our Creator's voice, who walks to us to lead us to repentance, who calls us to trust in Him again? What a dangerous thing it is to forget that Creator. For the dust will return to dust again. And the soul, which God, that Creator, has also given to us, that soul is going to return to God, who is also the judge. And when that day arrives, as we quickly pass, then that time of grace will have come to an end. Then that opportunity to remember your Creator will be gone. So tonight, we remember Him. We remember that one who made us. And we remember all of the blessings that He's given to us. Greatest of all is the gift of His own Son to take away all of our sins. A gift that we just celebrated again a few short days ago. And that is the greatest display of God's grace, that He has saved us from our forgetfulness, from our distractions, from our sins. So remember your Creator, which is why you're still here on this earth to celebrate another new year. A lesson from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the bad days come and the years arrive when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars are darkened. Before the clouds return after the rain. Before the day when the watchmen of the house tremble and the strong men are bent over. And the women who grind grain cease because they are few and those watching through the windows can barely see. Then the double doors to the street are shut as the grinding of the mill grows quiet. A person wakes up at the sound of a bird, but all the sounds of music are muffled. Then they fear heights and terrors along the road. The almond blossoms become white. The grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry has no effect. Why? Because the man is heading to his eternal home. Then the wailing mourners will go around in the street. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is snapped, and the golden bowl is broken, before the jar is shattered by the spring, and the water wheel is broken by the well, and the dust goes back into the ground, just as it was before, and the spirit goes back to God who gave it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love? At least, that's what the name means, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Not sure how much love is still existing there or anywhere in the world these days. It's too easy for us, instead of to be lovers of our brothers, instead to be lovers of selves. To forget that brotherly love, that kindness that we owe to our neighbor. God's responsibility in the second table of the law reminds us of that important fact, of the reason that we're still here on this earth too. Right next to the first table of the law, to remember your Creator, to love God above all else, is that second table of the law, love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, that's the fulfillment of all of God's law, His will for our lives. We're to love our neighbor, our brother too. So Peter, in our second lesson, reminds us of that important work which gives meaning and purpose to all of our life. Love one another constantly from a pure heart, Peter reminds us. Yes, after knowing God, that's why you're here. What great focus we have again as we close out another year and begin a new one. What is my purpose on this earth? After remembering to love God, I'm still here that I can love and serve my neighbor by showing that brotherly love, that Philadelphia. I think sadly often our goals, our New Year's resolutions, don't focus on others though, and how we can improve the lives of others. So often our focus is on self-improvement improvement of my health, improvement of my diet, improvement of my exercise, improvement of my efficiency at work, improvement perhaps in my attitude toward life. And don't get me wrong, all of those goals and focuses are good, but perhaps our focus should be more on the improvement of others. Perhaps our objective should be to increase service in my life to others. How can I do a better job of putting my children before myself more frequently? How can I use my gifts, my talents, my abilities, my life to serve others, to improve the lives and the livelihoods of other people? How about a New Year's resolution to that effect? And Peter gives us the reason why, too. Because that's the way our Creator God has served us. Peter reminds us that He purified you. He gave you rebirth. You were born again through those wonderful waters of holy baptism where He washed all of your sins away. He gave you a mortal with an expiration date. He gave you immortality through the eternal, immortal Word of God, which He preached into your hearts. He planted that seed of eternal life in you, so that you too will endure forever with Him in the joy of heaven. That's what Peter reminds us about in this second text. That second reason why we're still here on this earth, that we might live to serve others like we have been served by Him. Remember your neighbor. A lesson from 1 Peter chapter 1. Since you have purified your souls by obeying the truth, resulting in sincere brotherly love, love one another constantly from a pure heart. For you have been born again, not from perishable seed, but from imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In our last lesson for this evening, our Savior Jesus had a lesson to teach His disciples, one more thing to remember before it's too late. Again, another great reminder as we begin a new year, before it's too late. Jesus told a parable about a fig tree, about an owner, and about a gardener. The owner was looking for fruit, but found none. And he was ready to chop that tree down, fruitless as it was. But the gardener requested patience, more time. In the parable, you are the fig tree. God is the creator, that owner of the vineyard, or the fig tree. And He expects fruit from you. His Son Jesus is the gardener. The truth is, God is always disappointed with the fruit that we fail to produce. His fig tree, never producing how we should, never producing to the level that we should, that God's will and God's word demands, a perfect love for Him as our Creator, a perfect love for our neighbor, even as much as we love ourselves. But what does the gardener Jesus do for us? He intercedes. He steps between us and God. He pleads for God's mercy. Spare the tree, Jesus the gardener says. Be patient. I'll work it one more year. Give it time. Of course, the gardener Jesus is the Savior who did that work perfectly for us in our place. He was the one who produced exactly the fruit that God demanded from His fig tree. And He produced it plentifully. He produced it perfectly, the way that God demanded. And it's because of that Savior Jesus, the gardener, that our Heavenly Father is patient with us, giving us yet more time, yet more life, Because Jesus has rescued us. He's saved us. But what has he saved us for? He's saved us so that we remember the fruit that God desires us to produce. He saved us for service to God, our Creator, to produce those fruits that are pleasing to him. So we work. As the new year is upon us, let us be diligent in our work. Let us work diligently in thanksgiving to the gracious God, the patient God, who has given us yet another year. Let us work, serving him in our lives according to his holy will. Let us work using lives that God has given us to produce the fruit that he desires from us. Because in Christ we've not been cut down. In Christ we've not been uprooted from the soil. In Christ instead, we've been given new life. That digging care of God's precious word for us, which reaches down to our roots to nourish us and fill us up with that fruit that God desires. He's given us that blessed fertilizer of his good sacraments, which nourishes our faith and strengthens us to be even more fruitful for our Savior God. All of this, time and again, turns us to our gracious gardener who cared for us perfectly to save us, to give us one more year so that we can remember service to that Savior. A lesson from Luke chapter 13. He told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the gardener, "Look, for 3 years now I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I have found none. Cut it down. Why even let it use up the soil?" But the gardener replied to him, "Sir, leave it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put fertilizer on it. If it produces fruit next year, fine. But if not, then cut it down. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.